Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we indeed thank you for the privilege that we have to meet together again. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the reading and the preaching and the hearing of your truth. We ask you because we're needy people. We need to be taught. Teach us for Christ's sake. Amen. I would like to preach this morning out of verses 10 through 16. And I will plan to just preach this message entitled Five Unsealed Truths. And began it in the first message this morning and conclude it in the second. The Scripture sets forth that John, last week we looked at, after speaking to the angel that refused to be worshipped, he now speaks to the one who is deserving of worship. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that it's the Lord that's speaking because of what's said. Verse 10 says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Now, who but the Lord Jesus Christ has the right to say what's going to be done with his word? Do you think a created being would have the right to say, "Seal not the sayings"? It doesn't say, "He said to me." It just says, "Seal them not." Only the Lord God Himself has the right to say that. John had been instructed in Revelation 10:4. It says, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not." Now, John was told at one time, "What you heard, don't write that. Seal it up." It was not for us to know. It was not the right thing. God told him, "Don't write that." Here, though, he says, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Or what he's saying is, don't hide. Don't keep secret the sayings. That is, the thoughts, the topics, or the divine expressions is what that word saying means. Don't seal that up. For the time, the season is at hand. It's near. God's word is not hidden in the sense that men can't read it or hear it. There's not a person in this congregation this morning, there's not a person that's sitting in any place where the Bible is opened this morning. Every place where this book is opened, there's churches all up and down this road and all over this state, all over this country, all over this world, where this book is opened up. And this book is not hidden in the sense that men can't look at it and read it. It is hidden in its understanding until the Spirit of God gives a man a new heart to hear and grants that man faith to believe. Now, in that sense, it is hidden. Men read this book. They read the words. And they just read over them like they never heard what it said, because they didn't hear what it said unless God Almighty gives them a heart to understand it, to hear it, with ears to hear, with eyes to see. The words of this prophecy are open for inspection and scrutiny. And not one man, not one woman is going to stand before Almighty God and truthfully be able to say that God has not been open with them, that God's not been honest with them. Nobody's going to be able to say that. Here's the book. There it is, right there. Here's the book. Seal not the sayings of this book. In the verses that follow, there are five sayings that truthfully are not hidden before men. Five things, five unsealed truths that Almighty God, we're coming to the conclusion of this blessed book. Lord willing, next Sunday, I'll finish the book of Revelation. We'll go through and finish through the 21st verse. It's been, as I've said before, it's been like a dear friend that we've sat together and gone over every Sunday now for over a year and a half. And we've looked at this book and considered these truths, and here's what we can truthfully say. God's been honest. He's been pleased to allow some of us the privilege to be able to understand what He said. Five sayings are set forth. The undeniable revelation of Almighty God. And here's the first one. Verse 11. Verse 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Five truths. Here's the first one. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now, verse 11 sets forth, and it is not just the saying of this chapter. It's not just the saying of the book of Revelation. These five sayings have been from the beginning. The sayings of the prophecy of this book concerning the person, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first of these five sayings that God's been honest about. He's been up front. Verse 11 sets forth the thought, the speech, the utterance of how Almighty God views men in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse deals with how men have lived and died in God's sight and how they shall spend eternity. Now, one of these days, I'll stand here and I'll preach for the last time. One of these days. Could be today. This could be it. I got to thinking about this a while ago, and I thought, what if this is the last time I ever preach today? What if something happens to me? What if I have a heart attack? I got a friend of mine that's back in Tennessee that's about 3 or 4 years younger than me, just had a stroke. I thought, wow. I thought that happened to other folks. You know, it doesn't. It may be that I'll be heading down to see my kids today, and I'll be the statistic, you know, that you read about in the paper. I don't know. But if this is the last time that I ever preach, if this is the last time that I ever stand here, I want to be honest with you. There's five unsealed truths that Almighty God has set forth. And this is the first one. This is a part of the first one. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Now, the word unjust It means to do wrong. That is, to be an offender. To be the doer of unrighteousness. Now, everything that comes short of the glory of God. Everything that comes short of God Almighty's righteousness and perfection is unjust. Everything that falls short, everything, every thought, every deed, every utterance, everything, he that is unjust. Well, the first question that we must ask is, who are the unjust? Well, the answer is all men who are born in Adam. The eternity of mankind. Now, here's the thing. I want to be honest with you. Everybody in this room, everybody in this world, everybody that's ever been born in this world, in Adam, are born unjust. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Here's the thing. We're guilty. As being born in Adam, we're guilty people. You're guilty. You're guilty before God. You're unjust. All men. There is a nature as being born in Adam that is wrong, that offends and rebels against Almighty God. And all men, as being born in Adam, is under the wrath of God. But one would say, I thought that God's people weren't under the wrath of God. Well, that's true. But there's two vital truths that you must be understanding here. Number one, as being born in Adam, our old man is unjust. And Almighty God has put away, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath that is due all that the Lord Jesus Christ represented. That is to say that God Almighty does not look upon His people as answerable for. Paul the Apostle says, I was crucified with Christ. Now you think about this. The people of God are His body. Thou hast prepared a body for me. Who is His body? It's His people. His people. Here is the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that body, you say, well, I know, but He had arms and legs. We are His body. We're His body. When He obeyed God, we obeyed God. When He went to the cross, we went to the cross. And as suffering the wrath of Almighty God, we did in the person of our substitute. Almighty God always looked at Him as answerable. That's true. Absolutely true. So as being born in Adam, we as being unjust, Almighty God dealt with us in wrath in a substitute. You say, were we really unjust? Well, let me ask you this. Listen to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, the innocent, for the unjust, that is, the offenders and the doers of unrighteousness, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, there's an amazing verse that we just read, and it sets forth an indescribable truth. The us, that He might bring us, Peter said. The us that Peter speaks of as being brought to God are not the unjust as being born in Adam. But that new man, that new creature created in Christ Jesus, there's a brand new man. You have to understand something. There's two men in a believer. Two men. One of them has suffered the wrath of God in a substitute and put away the guilt. The presence of sin is there, but there's a brand new man that's there. Two natures. That Paul sets forth that truth over and over and over again. He said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. The body of this dead. But he said, with that flesh I serve the law of sin. Presence of it, the love of it, but the wrath of it, the guilt of it's been put away. But he says, there's a new mind. There's a new man. With that new mind, I serve the law of God. Bow to Him. Being found and chosen and considered as God's elect in Christ by virtue of our union with Him, He has communicated to all His members, the whole bride, the church. 2 Peter 1:3 says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here's a truth that is set forth. Almighty God considers His people, the elect, chosen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as just. They're just. We ask, has God's elect ever been considered unjust? Well, someone can say yes. As being born in Adam, Christ suffered the just for the unjust. But that new man, being born of God, that one that doth not commit sin, that one in whom the seed of God Himself remains, that one that cannot sin. Why? Because he's born of God. That one chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, that inward man that God has forever loved, no. He's never been under the wrath of God. Why? He's never sinned. Born of God, cannot sin. So he that is unjust, that is, he that dies unjust before Almighty God, the one never chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who dies with one nature, unjust. We're all born like that. The Lord Jesus Christ put away the guilt of His people in His sacrifice. Made sin for them. What they are by nature, He was made to be the totality of what they are by nature. Total rebels. Total. He was made sin, and God dealt with him and put away the guilt. The just died for the unjust and put it away. He said, He's cast our sins as far as the east from the west. He said, I'll remember them. I'll remember them no more. And a brand new man was created, one created in Christ Jesus. But a man who has but one nature and goes through this world, and Almighty God never calls him out of darkness, leaves him to himself, and dies in an unjust state before Almighty God. God's never put away his guilt in a substitute. Never. Let him be unjust still. The way he dies is where he's going to spend eternity. That's where it is. Secondly, he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. That is, soiled or dirty. This word has to do, because I looked it up, it has to do with a garment. Now you know that doesn't surprise you at all. He that's filthy. He that has a filthy garment. James says in James 1:21, wherefore lay aside put away, cast off all filthiness and superfluity. That means the superabundance, superfluity, superabundance of naughtiness or badness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Again, you must realize that we're is being born in Adam, and the presence of sin and guilt that even remains in the as a presence of sin. That filth is the only description that can be made concerning the natural man's righteousness. God, Paul says, listen, remember, oh wretched man, that old nature that's still there. Isaiah, listen to this. Isaiah 64:6, but we all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses. Now listen, this was Isaiah speaking, talking about the present state of a believer, the presence of sin, the old nature, the body of that death, as filthy rag. He says, but we all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Actually, that word filthy there means to make filthy. Make filthy. And man by nature in Adam continually is exhibiting that he makes himself filthy by the unending attempt to cover his spiritual nakedness before God. That's all he's trying to do. That's all he's doing. He's going through the motions. Man by nature is a filthy, self-righteous thing. That's all he is. Filthy. Filthy. Without a substitute, our walk, our prayer, our futile attempts at obedience is described as filthy. It's just nothing. It's just, we don't know how to please God. We don't know how. We're trying to take a filthy thing. How can a clean thing come out of something that's filthy? The root of it is what it's going to be. That's all it is. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. A man who dies robed in his own filthy garments of self-righteousness is going to stay that way. Without the imputed righteousness of Christ, God Almighty is going to deal with a man in absolute judgment and wrath. For a believer, he fears not the wrath of God. Why? Because God's wrath has already been spewed out on our substitute. He put it away. He that is unjust and dies in that state, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy without the robe of Christ's righteousness, he's going to stay that way. He that is righteous, though, let him be righteous still. Righteous. That word says, its interpretation is, that is to be just without prejudice or partiality in relation to God's view. Righteous. You know, I thought about what God calls righteous. What God Almighty calls righteous. That's righteous. In relationship to His law. That is to never think, never think anything wrong. Never think anything. Not do it, not even think it, not even to intend it. Righteous. Righteous. Now knowing that Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous. No, not one. Do you see how God Almighty is setting forth that He deals with all men in one of two men? One of two men. God Almighty is going to deal with all men apart from His Son in Adam's rebellion. Almighty God is going to deal with all men in His Son, in His Son. And He's going to look upon all men in Adam in absolute wrath and judgment, and he's going to look all on Christ, in Christ as blessed. He that is righteous. Well, knowing that there's none righteous, no, not one, the natural question would be, how should a man be just? How should a man be righteous with God? Well, with men, this is impossible. But not with God. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Righteousness has to do with obedience. When you think of righteousness, just put obedience by that word. And only as being considered obedient in our federal head, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, can this be said of us as His people. Just as the whole of mankind, being in the loins of Adam, were reckoned to be disobedient by their father Adam. They were in his loins. So everybody that was born was reckoned to be disobedience, the whole of God's elect, as being chosen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, were reckoned righteous. But you say, I've never done... I know you haven't. I've never thought a pure thought in my... I know you haven't. I've never done anything that... I know you haven't. There's not one person here that could ever truthfully say that in yourself you've ever done anything. But to God's elect, He's looking at His Son. And He's reckoning His people to be in His Son. And what His Son has done, that's the way they are. God's righteousness is imputed, charged to His people. So he that is righteous in another, he that is obedient to the law of God by another, let him be righteous still. Salvation's of the Lord. Men die in an unjust state because they refuse to come to Christ. That's why. They're unjust. They were born in Adam. God left them to themselves. Why did He do that? Because He chose to. Why would He leave one man to himself and choose another? Because he has the right to. That's why He does. That's why He does. But if a man dies in an unjust state, it's because God Almighty left him to himself. No, he died in an unjust state because he wouldn't come to Christ. You see, if God Almighty leaves men to themselves, they'll do just exactly what they want to do. And God will be just in condemning them. But because He has chosen to have compassion and mercy, He chose some in His Son. Because He loved this world, He loved the order of man, and was not willing that this order of man should perish. If God left him to himself, they would have. And he that is holy... We'll just stop with this 11th verse and go into the next one, the next service. He that is holy, he that is pure, let him be holy still. Holy, actually, this, describing the word holiness, or giving an interpretation. This is as close as I can come. Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin. Concerning God's people, separated to Almighty God. Separated. Sanctified. Just as the Lord said, He doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God Almighty has put a difference between His people and the rest of mankind. Concerning holiness, Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I looked up the word should be. It doesn't mean going to be. It doesn't mean one of these days. It doesn't mean something that's going to take place at a later date. The word should be is a present word that means are. Are. A-R-E. A-R-E. That we, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we are holy and without blame before Him in love. You say, are you saying to me that Almighty God considered His people holy before the foundation of the world? I sure am. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. And you show me a scripture that says that God has ever changed from the way He sees His people now or then. This is the first view that Almighty God had of the church, the bride, when chosen in Christ, holy and without blame, chosen in Him. God's seed remains in them. They cannot sin. They cannot sin. They sin not. And that's the last view that Almighty God is going to have of His people. He does not change. God Almighty, truly, the bride fell in Adam's transgression, and you know she did. She became polluted in herself. That's absolutely right. But you write this down and don't you ever forget this. A time state from the fall of Adam, Carl, to the Lord Jesus Christ returns. A time state of sin cannot do away with God's purpose in eternity. This is what I mean. No sin in Adam destroys the holiness that is in Christ. Never. 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 She fell in time. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in time and put away her guilt and paid the debt of it. And God cast it as far as the east is from the west. And He put it away. But it never changed the way God viewed her in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ before the world began, from the foundation of the world. It is in Christ that the church was chosen to be holy and without blame before God. And by the undertaking which the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, has accomplished in Himself, and by the offering of Himself for sin, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart, holy. He made an open display of His redemption. This wasn't hidden. And in that great day, the church, who was chosen in Christ that she should be holy and without blame before Him in love, shall Christ present as a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy, without blemish, chosen in Christ, holy, considered in Christ, holy, obedient in Christ, holy. And the Scripture says, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. This is the first of five truths that God told John, don't seal this up. Almighty God has, before the foundation of the world, when He said in the book of Genesis, He said, let us make man in our image. The image of God is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He expressed Him. Let us make man. That word make means consider. Let us consider all men in the person. Some He chose to be vessels of honor. Some He chose to be vessels of dishonor. Does the potter have the right? You look at the word where they were appointed to wrath, appointed to judgment. That means that God set them forth to be. Does the potter have the right to make one vessel unto honor and have the right to leave another to himself in judgment? Does he have that right? Yes, he does. Why? Because he's God. And that's we'll deal with that. This is the first of five unsealed truths. This is the way it is. Almighty God has dealt with men as it pleased him. And God told John, don't seal that up. Now, men may stand here and they'll say, well, now I think that God has given every man the right to make his own choice, because God could not make a man and then jeopardize that man's right, you know, being a free moral agent to do. Well, let me tell you what the Word of God says. And this is an unsealed truth. This is not sealed up. Almighty God says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that's unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. Or filthy, I'm sorry. He that is righteous, let him be righteous. And he that's holy, let him be holy. Almighty God has set forth that blessed truth. And it's open for all men to read and all men to consider. He's God. God Almighty. Well, we'll stop right there. Lord willing, we'll stop back in a minute.